I'll be reading it in my mother tongue, the Samoan language, and so just bear with me with the for the next couple of seconds. The reading for this morning is taken from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, and it goes, Ua fa'ali amai le anga leima le alofa I tangata o lo tatou fa'aola le atua. Verse 5, Ona fa'aola mai ei lea o ia ia I tatou, e le ona o ngā luenga o I lea miotonu sa tatou faya. E tusa malo na lava alofa I le fa'ata e le ina, I le toi fuata ina ma le fa'afo wina e le anganga pa ia. And verse 6 goes, Wana whamalingi tele mai ilunga ya I tātou, ono Yesu ke riso lo tātou whaola. And the last verse, Ina ia ta'ua mia tunuina I tātou ilona lava alofa tūnoa, ia fai I tātou masuli I tusa ma le whaamoe moe I leola e whaavau. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. Been loving going through the book of Titus together. Have you ever been ready for something, but also the opposite of that, not been ready? This has been a week of not being ready for Kat and I. We just had our first baby 3 months ago, and we welcomed a one-year-old into our home for this last week as we've been looking after a friend's baby who's been in hospital. And we thought we were ready for kids. Now we got two, and we're learning what it's like. It's very different. It's been a joy, though. This last week, a moment that I was not ready for, we had some friends over just a day ago, and we were having a snowball fight for a Christmas in July thing with them and their kids. And we had little paper snowballs, and I was rolling around on the ground outside, and I cut my head open, and I didn't even realize it. And I come in, and Kat goes, "What's on your forehead?" And I go, "Nothing." And she goes, "No, there's definitely something there." So that's what happened to me over the weekend. I was not ready for, I guess, playing in this fake snow with kids. But when we're going through this book of Titus, we've talked through quality leadership. We've talked about church leadership, church governance. Last week, we talked through guilt and grace for the works that God calls us to. What's the motivation behind what we do? And today, we're talking about how do we actually prepare to do what God has set out before us? How do we actually get ready? It's kind of like that idea of putting the cart before the horse. If you put a cart in front of a horse, but don't attach it to it, it's never going to go anywhere. The horse can push with all its might, but if it's not geared up to and attached to the cart, it's going to be stuck. And yet, so often, this is how we can approach how we try to do things for God instead of doing things with God. There's a difference between trying to do something for God and rather do something with Him. When I try to do things just on my own for God, I can actually seek my own benefit, my own glory. When I do things with God, I'm giving Him glory and doing it by grace. So how are you going in your life and in walking through what God is calling you into? C.T. Studd, a missionary to China, India, Africa, and famous cricketer who even played at the GABA, back in the 1800s, he was one of the first cricketers who started the whole Ashes thing. Fascinating. Then he became a missionary after that. He came up, he said this quote here. He says, "One life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last." And I would like to add a for and with Christ. That it's not things we just do for God, but things that God invites us to join Him alongside in. So is your relationship with God where you want Him to work in your life? Or is it one where you want to join Him in His? Is God an addition to your life? I'm just going to add God in when I need Him. Is He a subtraction oh, I have to go to church again, or I have to do this again? Or is he the summit of it all? Meaning everything is centered around who Jesus is, who God is. So as we walk through this book of Titus, just some reminders of who Titus was. He was a trusted follower of Jesus, a companion of Paul through many missionary journeys. He went through a lot of ministry crises with Paul. He went all the way to Jerusalem and the Jerusalem Council in Acts, where they kind of talk about, is it grace or is it the law? And he was kind of a Gentile that showed, hey, I can follow Jesus too by grace. He's character-driven by grace and not by works. And this is the mission strategy of the church. It's not our works, it's character. Jesus doesn't say, you'll know you're a Christian by how many churches you build. Or you'll know you're a Christian by how many this you have. He says, they'll know you're Christians by your love for one another. So if that love is present, that then is the church. That is then us being prepared to be ready for what God is doing. Christians aren't meant to start a culture war. We're instead called to completely be revolved around Jesus, changed by the gospel, so that the gospel in our hearts and lives changes the lives of others, not because of us, but because of Christ. This is how Christianity is spread across the entire globe, because people have come to know Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, to have a story changed like Jesus. Now, you all have a unique story, every one of you. None of us are the same. Every one of you comes from somewhere different, has a different life story for where you've brought your life to this point. And even if you're born on the same birthday, even if you're twins, same family, you have a different story. As a result, from these different stories, we center together as Christians around the gospel. And when you become a Christian, these stories we begin to call testimonies. So when you become put your faith in Jesus, your story becomes a testimony. And you start to share the stories of what God has done in and through your life and what he is doing and what he will do. So in Titus chapter 3, as we finish this book today, we're going to see three sections. Verses 1 to 5, what is your story? Kind of what have you come from to who you are up until this point? And how are you then being prepared for every good work in the story of your life? Then verses 5 to 11 in chapter 3, you'll see what do you believe? What is this core of Christian faith? And then verses 12 to 15, what are your plans? Our key verse comes from some of those verses that Peter read for us. In verses 4 to 5, it says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. In this section, there's a lot of really big Christian words. Justification and regeneration, renewal, Holy Spirit. There's a lot of words that we're going to break down as we go into these things. But in verses 1 to 2, he tells Titus to remind them of these things. He says, remind them to be submissive to authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy. This is in verses 1 to 2. He says, so perfect courtesy toward all people. What is courtesy? It's not court. It's essentially a nice kindness. It's kind of going out of your way to show kindness to someone, but to doing it to everyone. And then showing respect to authorities and rulers and being submissive to them. Now, Australians, you're much better at this than an American like me. Coming to Australia, there's a lot more rules here. A lot more restrictions. For as easygoing as Australians are, there's things like working at heights permits. There's things like traffic laws and speed limits, which are really good things. mobile phone rules. I've been hit with many tickets here in Australia. And I will tell you what, the first time I got a ticket, I went, my rights! Oh, I was so frustrated and mad. And I talked to every Australian, and they were like, oh, yeah, well, that's on you. And I realized, oh, Australians are much more submissive to authority than I am as an American. As a result, I've started to change. I've started to become more Aussie. And the last time I got a ticket, I went, oh, well, yep, that's me in the picture. And that's my friend not wearing a seatbelt. I thought they were wearing a seatbelt, but, you know, that's right. And you would know the details of that. And so we're much more submissive to authority here in Australia. But he starts to say and remind them of these things. Be submissive, be obedient, be ready for every good work, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, being arguing, be gentle, show perfect courtesy to everyone. There's a lot of things that we get reminded of, and it's often not things like this. Often the things that come up on the notifications on our phones, the things that get our attention, aren't the things that actually bring us towards holiness. They're actually things that remind us to be self-centered. When you open your phone, it's not often a, oh, it's what's about me. It's not often, oh, how can I help? How can I be more submissive to authority? That's probably not the first thought you've had when you've opened your phone. Or how can I be obedient? Or how can I be ready for every good work or speak evil of no one? Or how can I avoid arguing or be gentle and show courtesy? These aren't the things that we're reminded of in our culture. But the kingdom culture tells us to be reminded of what is good. Because when we're reminded of who Jesus is, we're reminded to be what is good. There are those who do not know Jesus, but many will come to know Jesus possibly through you and your story, through what God has done for you, what he has called and gifted you in different ways. We are called to become like Christ through Christ. This is our testimony of what God has done and what he is doing. But the reality is, everything doesn't happen right when we want it to. It's over time we learn, we grow, we become like Jesus. When we shift our identity from performance identity to a beloved identity, meaning I'm loved, that's when we find that we're tied and connected to Jesus. You're not a good Christian because of the good you did last week. You're a good Christian because Jesus is good. We don't pay God back with our performance. We worship him in thankfulness. We conquer sin through the light of his love. Verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice," meaning like an intense anger, "and envy, hatred, hated by others and hating one another." This is how he says Paul, how Paul describes himself and describes the people he's talking to. He says, we were once these terrible people. And when we start to be reminded of all the things that we're supposed to do, we can very quickly be reminded of all the wrong things that we've done. And you can remember, you know, I don't quite measure up. I'm maybe not quite good enough. And the truth is, this is all of our story when we come to know Jesus. We're not good enough. We can't be. I'm not a fully righteous person, and that once I'm good enough, I can be close with God. It's rather, God is good enough to bring me close to him. And by being close with him, he then changes me. Are you so accustomed to that trying to fix yourself that you're looking to yourself to form your spiritual nature rather than God? If you have sin in your life you're trying to overcome, you will not overcome that sin by just trying to Be better by yourself. You need the Spirit. You need Jesus. You need to be changed with God, by God. There's no such thing as a bad testimony because you are testifying about Jesus. But when I guess there is a bad testimony, if all I do is testify about myself. So this is where the hope is. In verses 4 to 5, it then says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works of righteousness done in his own mercy, but by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, we were dirty in sin, but we're washed and made new in Jesus. This last week, Kat and I have been bathing two babies. Kat bathes one, and then I bathe the other one. And it amazes me how dirty a little kid can get. Just day after day. And you go, man, I should probably shower more too. And you start to look at these kids and you go, man, you're crawling through the dirt. You're walking through my dog's poop. And you're just loving life. And yet, from that, there is a washing and a cleansing that is very much needed at the end of the day. But this is the story we all come from. We come from a place of being dirty in our sin, but we need a washing in our Savior, and made new by the very Spirit of God. And we do this by being made new in Jesus, through Jesus. And we then start to share these stories. I want to encourage you that you can start to know what God's will is for your life by knowing who God is, by reading his word. When you get alone with the word of God, it has the power to change lives. Read it for yourself. But don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. So how do we then share our stories? I have two little acronyms for you. SALT and BOB. They don't really connect that well. But BOB is a prayer that I often find myself praying. You pray for a burden for the lost. You pray for an opportunity to share. And then you pray for the boldness to do so. As soon as you start to pray for how your heart have the same heart for God for others, he'll start to give you that heart. You start to pray for an opportunity to share a story about how God has worked in your life, God will bring you an opportunity. And then that's the point we usually stop. It's then praying for that boldness to go, God, speak through me. God, tell your story. The biggest obstacle people face with evangelism is often fear. But in 1 John, it says, perfect love drives out fear. When I'm driven by love in sharing my story, by a burden for an opportunity, that's when I see change. So how do you do that practically? Is the living of that is in the SALT acronym, which in Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech, what you say, always be gracious, as with seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Essentially saying that the goodness of God's grace for us is like salt in the lives of other people. Sometimes when I cook with food and I don't add salt, you kind of go, this is kind of bland. When you add just a little bit of salt, it brings out the flavor. This is what God is calling us to live in, or to be the flavor in people's lives. You witness by the way you live. Are you with Jesus? Is Jesus being made known through you and your character? When we go through this, there's an easy way of how we share our stories. It's two words. Think of Jesus, and then two words. So it goes like this. You have two words, and we'll go with this at the end in our application section. You'll say something like, there was a time in my life where I felt alone and worn out. For me, That was a time when I was back in the States and I was working probably 60, 70 hour weeks at the last church that I was at. And I was really getting burnt out. And even though I was doing all of these things for the ministry of the church, I didn't have a community that I really felt loved in. I felt really alone. But then I was reminded about who Jesus was. And I encountered Jesus through the life of other people who were living with Jesus here at this church, at Church at the Gaba. And I experienced that love. And now my life is filled with loving community and hope. A short little one-minute testimony. Two words before Jesus, a moment where I met Jesus, and then two words after. It's as simple as that. But the reality is, I want to encourage you to be real in those moments when you really encounter Jesus. Australians can really point out what's fake. They have a way of going, we want authenticity. We want what's real. So share the good, the bad, the ugly, the reality, and the honest moments. And so we do that by first not just telling our story to begin with, but we actually seek a conversation with someone. Then you actually just ask questions about their life and lovingly listen to them, really getting to know who they are and hear their stories, so that when you go, can I share you a story of what's been happening in my life? They're not going, no, I don't want to hear about that Jesus stuff, because you've lived Jesus with them. You've heard them. You've listened to them. You've loved them. Verses 5 to 11 focuses on what do you believe? Verses 5 says, he saved, we just read those, 5 to 5 and 6, on the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A lot of really big Christian words in this. We have regeneration, justification, heirs of the Holy One, eternal life. This is essentially walking through what do we believe as Christians as what we call the gospel, meaning the good news. We walk through this idea of being regenerated is for us going, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I was dead in sin, I'm now alive in God. Jesus died and rose again. And because of that hope, he can bring new life to me and new life to you. Justified means to be just as if I hadn't sinned, meaning all the wrong I've done, God doesn't count that against me. But he says, instead, I give you my holiness, which then we live in that justification by God's grace. This is a little acronym I love for grace, is God's riches at Christ's expense. So when we think of what religion is, what Christianity is, what the Bible says, a lot of people think it's all about rules. I had a friend who became a Christian this last year, and he said, when I first opened the Bible, he said, I was expecting the entire thing to be law, command, 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 command. He said, I was really surprised to open it and went, this is a story. I went, yeah, it's not just a bunch of rules. Where the law says done, grace, where the law says do, grace says done. Salvation is this new life in Jesus. It's not a lesson to be earned or learned, but it's a new life to be received. This is the hope of salvation. This is the hope of the kingdom. So we walk through this whole core of what do we believe, and it centers around God's grace. We don't deserve this, but God gives us this. The kingdom culture in Christ is centered around the King. He's the one who lived and lived what it means to be with God for us. And it's a radical grace and it's a sacrificial love. But this is what he calls us, is for our love to become like his. The hope of the gospel is that God's grace impacts me so I then show his grace to others. Yet so often, we receive God's grace, but we expect the law on other people. We say, this is what they need to do in order for me to love them. This is what they need to do in order for me to forgive them. We base our relationships with others so often upon law instead of upon grace. The point of grace is that it's undeserved love. We don't deserve it, but God gives it. So last section, verses 12 to 15, we go through what are your plans? This is the Mediterranean Sea. These are a bunch of Paul's different missionary journeys that he goes through in this area. And as we look through this missionary journeys of Paul, Titus would have went on some of these with him. And he's now writing to Titus, who's now living in Crete, which is this big island down here in the Mediterranean. And as he's ministering, there's a bunch of churches that have been planted all throughout this island. And as he's going around sharing the gospel and things in that, raising up leaders, he encourages them to raise up holy leaders for God. There's been corruption in these moments. And people have kind of started to drift away from what is true. So as a result, Paul's writing this letter to Titus. But often in the way that Paul would write letters, he'd send his letters with trusted people. So here's if you're looking for some kids' names, some baby names, here's some. When I send Artemis, or I like this one, Tychicus. I might have to ask you how to... What was it? Tychicus. Thank you. Our local Greek expert with Patricia. He says, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I will decide to spend the winter there. And do your best to spend Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let the people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. And that's the end of the book of Titus. So this Tychicus guy, he went on Paul's third missionary journey alongside Paul. He would also deliver the letter of Philemon with the slave that became a Christian with Onesimus back to Ephesus. And he served alongside a minister of Paul. But one of the things I want to point out in this section is that so often when we think of Paul, we think of Paul did all of these things for the Lord. But we can sometimes forget about the differences between success and struggles. But often when we do this, we're often living for the idea of achievement instead of care. When Paul closes this statement, his focus is for the care of these people. He's sending people to show his love, but he's also asking for support for them to be supported. Achievement is dangerous when it becomes the priority of a community instead of love. When we as a church go, we have to do this and this and this in order for God to work, we ignore how is God working in us to love one another today. What does it mean to live graciously and generously? Jesus again says, you'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. At the Baptist World Congress last year, it was a year ago, this last week, they encouraged all the Baptist churches to say by 2033, to share 450 million testimonies. And you go, how in the world can you do that? And they said if every Baptist currently in the church shares their testimony once a year, by 2033, 450 million testimonies would be shared. What a hope. When I look at something that big, go and put it on myself, I go, there's no way. But when you go, I could do that once a year, maybe even twice, maybe more. But if we seek how do we reach our local community, how do we reach the people, your friends, your family, your coworkers, with the love of Jesus? We can confuse our achievement and doing for God but as a means for God's call for us instead of his calling for you to live with him today in his priorities. So often we look at the Apostle Paul and we go, that is not me. You look at his turnaround testimony. He went around and he changed the whole world for God. I have some news for you. Paul didn't change the world. God did. And sometimes God is calling you to be with him, to change the world by changing your own heart. And to change our own hearts, he'll bring us through different seasons. Seasons of rest, seasons of training, seasons of growth and holiness, seasons of preparing you to get ready to do the work that he has for you, doing his will with him and through him. But in this section, it says, Paul plans to spend the winter in Nicopolis. This is the only point where Nicopolis is mentioned in the Bible. It's this nice coastal city, town in Greece, right on the Mediterranean. And Paul says, that's where I'm going to go spend the winter. We never hear of a story of a church being there. There would be later on, but Paul says, I'm going to spend the winter here. Sometimes we can focus just on the doing for God instead of the being with him. God calls us to seasons to walk alongside of him so that we're never alone. The lie of making plans is that peace will come when everything is under your control. But the reality is that peace comes when I'm living with the Lord. When I'm living in prayer. When I'm spending time with God. Time well spent is time with God. Because God loves us, not because of what we have done, but to demonstrate what he has done, what he is doing, and what he'll do. And so Paul ends this book of Titus in saying that all who are with me send greetings to you. And greet those who love us in the faith. And this fabulous statement at the end, grace be with you all. It all reminds us of this beautiful grace that God gives us. So what is your testimony? What is this good work that God has for you? To be ready for every good work that God has for you is to be ready for God to work in your life today. To join him in what he's doing in your life today. So what is God doing in you, with you, alongside you? How is he calling you? Where is he calling you? This call is not to become like Christ alone. It's to become like Christ with him, but also with a community. God doesn't call you to a testimony of your effort. He calls you to a testimony of his grace. So final application for us, two things to try and do this week. One, write a testimony. So think of two things that you can do this week. Two things that you go, this was my life before a Jesus moment. Think of two things before Jesus. Then think of that moment where God interacted in your life and things changed. And if you haven't had that moment, come talk with me. Let's meet Jesus together. Then, after that moment, think of two new words of what describes your life in that moment with Jesus. And give the details, the good, the bad, the reality, the honest moments. So write a little short 3-4 sentence testimony. Think about it. Write it in your phone. Write it in your head. Write it in your heart. And the beauty about a testimony is it isn't just, here's before I was a Christian, here's after I'm a Christian. That's a misunderstanding of a testimony. It's reality of a testimony is, here's a moment before I realized I needed God. Here's a moment I realized that God was working. And then here's a moment where it changed and what I'm now in. And that happens time and time again in your life as a Christian. Second thing to try and do this week is to seek one way to live in God's plans over your own. What's a way that you're currently going, I'm making my plan for this, I'm making my plan for this. And what's a way you can just go, God, I want to bring you into this. What are you doing? How can I join you? I'm going to close with a prayer from St. Francis. He says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. It is dying that one is raised alive.